Hello and welcome to the Green Room Golf Course podcast from the British and International Golf Greenkeepers Association. Thanks for listening to this podcast, which sheds a light upon the golf industry and what it takes to maintain a modern course. I hope you enjoy the show. Hi, and welcome to this week's edition of the Green Room Golf Course Podcast. Before we get started this week, I want to tell you about a new partnership between Bigger and Campy Turf Care Systems. This has seen us launch a brand new set of awards available to Bigger members and with an incredible prize up for grabs. There are three awards available. The first is called New Media and looks at digital ways of connecting with customers to raise awareness of what you're doing out on the course. Perhaps you host a podcast like this one. Maybe you write a monthly blog, or you've had success on social media. We're on the lookout for innovative digital ways of communicating with golfers and others in the industry. The second award is titled Outreach, and we're looking to hear about schemes where the greenkeeping team have got out into the community to build relationships. It can be a scheme with schools or a local group with the intention of helping raise awareness of the good work that's taking place at the golf club. For both of these awards, there's a £450 first prize, with the winners due to be announced at BTME 2020 in January. The final award is entitled Innovation and Thought Leadership, and it requires Bigger members to submit articles for inclusion in Greenkeeper International. Articles can be about greenkeeping or any other topic relevant to life on the golf course. Each month, we'll select a single article for inclusion in Greenkeeper International, with the monthly winner getting a £100 Continue to Learn education voucher. Then, at BTME 2020, we'll announce an overall winner, who will receive a £750 first prize and a Money Can't Buy week in Florida, where they'll visit TPC Sawgrass, the home stadium of the Jacksonville Jaguars, Daytona Beach Speedway, and the Air 2 G2 factory. It's an incredible prize, and we're thankful to our friends at Campy Turf Care Systems for their generosity. You can find out more about all three awards by heading to our website. There's a link in the show notes. This week saw me head to the South Coast to visit Phil Helm at Goodwood Estate. I spoke to Phil at the halfway house of Goodwood's Downs Course. You'd imagine that such a place on a gorgeous summer's day high on the South Downs would be peaceful. But this weekend at Goodwood is the Festival of Speed, where Ferrari, McLaren, racing drivers, celebrities and 70,000 other speed fans head to the estate for a celebration of everything on four and two wheels. In charge of overseeing maintenance of the estate's two golf courses, farmland, horse racing track, airport and gardens is Phil Helm, a master greenkeeper originally from Morecambe who moved to Goodwood 5 years ago. If you've ever wondered how wide and varied the sports turf industry can be, and where golf greenkeeping can take you, Phil is the man to speak to. So apologies that every now and then a helicopter or a private aircraft flies past, but that's what happens when you're in a millionaire's playground. And I really hope you enjoy the show.
Yeah, you're right. It's where do you start? It's a huge place, 12,000 acres, and primarily it's mainly grass of different grades, from lawns to runways to cricket wickets to golf courses, horse racing, all manner of stuff and everything in between. And most of the activities, if you like, take part on it in some way or other. So, you know, all the disciplines that I've tried to learn about golf sort of sometimes don't really apply when, you know, when you have to look after a cricket wicket. They are quite literally opposites. And things like what I've realised is that, like airfields that we've seen this morning, is that it actually has to perform to take quite an aggressive activity in aeroplanes. You know, Spitfires weigh 3.5 tons, and the pilots, even though I've asked them not to, they have to lock the brakes to test them when they land, which puts skids and all sorts of operational difficulties, that issues, challenges. Yeah. But a grass runway, I've learned, has to basically be a cricket wicket on the with the soil profile, but more like a horse racing surface on the top. So the grass needs to be 2 inches and nice and lush, and underneath needs to be really quite firm and hard, like a cricket wicket, to take the impact of all the tires and the landing. And and of course those two performance criteria, if you like, don't go hand in hand. You know, to get nice lush growth on the top, you need lots of air. Uh-huh. And but to you know, like any groundsman or cricket will tell you, the soil has to be really firm to take the impact of a tire. Well, the two don't go together, so we're constantly learning about how to manage that. So there's lots of challenges.
Yeah, you're telling us about that because you have an air port on your site.
Yes.
In addition to everything else, and you are responsible for all of it.
Yes. Right. Yeah. So
everything grass.
So yeah, like I say, so it's we have a cricket pitch that's just been we've just done an awful lot of work to upgrade it to. It will be at county standard for next year when they play their away matches. We have an airfield that's got 4 runways, all in different directions for the wind direction for landing and taking off. Extensive lawns, as you would imagine, all around the Goodwood House. 2 18-hole golf courses, and we'll go and it's not grass, but we'll go and meet the gardens team, and that's more private side with all the cottages and the stately house, and things like the kennels and the hotel areas, all that sort of stuff. So yeah, there's all of that. There's that team as well. There's 35. Full-timers and full-time members of staff, grounds, greenkeepers and gardeners. And at the height of the season, we've probably got another 10 casuals that help us, that we need to help us through the growing season, if you like. So, yeah, it's quite a lot of people. So
35. How many of those are on golf course?
There are about 16 of those full-time for 2 courses. And then that will go up to like 20 at the height of the season.
The height of the season. Okay. Yeah. And I can hear helicopters buzzing around us. I hope the sound's okay on the recording. I'm sure it will be. Helicopters buzzing around us. We're at the Festival of Speed. Tell me a little bit about that.
So it's quite intense. It's one of 4, probably our major events of the year. Mm-hmm. Our first one is it's called the members meeting, which is all about car. If you have a car and you want to be a member at Goodwood, you can be a member of the Goodwood Road Racing Company. That starts in March. It gets quite intense there. Probably about 20,000 people turn up to watch that, and that's over at the Motor Circuit, obviously.
Only.
Then we go straight into the Festival of Speed, which is now. It's a four-day event. 70,000 people over the 4 days. Damon Hill. He's a really nice, really, really nice guy. He is a member, a golf member here.
All right.
And we're at the gazebo, he was already there having a cup of coffee. Between holes 7 and 8, I rocked up to have my usual cup of coffee and said hello to Damon. He said hello, it was really nice. And then he had to get a bit of a move on because there was a McLaren corporate day on, and they were quickly coming down the 7th fairway, and he said, I've got to shoot off because it's not normal, but I don't normally manage to get in front of McLaren. And off he... And off he went, which I just thought was a nice... That story's always stuck. It was really quite a cool joke. It's just like, so that was that. And and another one was we had a... And a, and a, we had a guy who was a celebrity, I forget who it was now, was playing because he was driving later on at the Festival of Speed, and he came for a game of golf. He wasn't a particularly great golfer, I don't think. It wasn't his forte. And he'd been told that the bunker sand had been specially imported from Dubai because, well, it is Goodwood, isn't it? And, you know, so obviously we're going to have only the best. I think there was some sort of connection with the... no, I'll tell a lie. Do you know what it wasn't? It wasn't great. He was a jockey.
Jockey.
And Qatar... the royal family from Dubai, they sponsor their partner with Goodwood. And that's why he said, well, obviously, because of the Qatar connection, you obviously have to buy sand from Dubai to put in your bunkers. It was like, no, we just get it from Leighton Buzzard. You know, it's just up the road. Then we have the revival meeting, which is usually in September, which is where everyone dresses in period costumes. And, yeah, of course, it's all about antique cars and racing and antique aeroplanes and all that sort of stuff, motorbikes. But in between that, there's the glorious Goodwood, which is a 5-day horse racing event up on the top of the hill, and that's 4 weeks from now, so that's in August.
How does the Festival of Speed impact your day-to-day life, what happens on the golf course?
So from a golf point of view, so having two golf courses, one of the golf courses, the park course, is right in the thick of it. And so that gets closed for a week while we're right at the last minute prepping for additional car parking for all the 70,000 people that turn up. But the Downs golf course, up on the top of it, a little bit further away, just off the fringe of the festival site, that stays open, although it's difficult to perhaps get here for the members because of all the cars and the road network, they do get here and they still like to play their golf, so that stays open. But the park course gets closed. Two of the fairways, the 3rd and the 12th, are used for additional car parking. Probably only put about 1,000 cars on there for each day for the 4 days, because primarily all the fields are used for camping and for all the other 69,000 cars that turn up. I did forget to mention I'm responsible for all the fields as well. I did forget that because it only came onto my remit sort of last year, making sure that they can perform and cover those activities. So the park gets closed, two of the fairways get used for car parking, two of the fairways, the 9th and the 10th, gets used as part of the festival, and even though it's Festival Speed, those fairways get used for aviation. So we bring in aeroplanes and park them all up, you'll see that later.
Do your fairways become runways?
They don't. No, what they do is they fly them into an adjoining field.
Right.
And then they tow them in. Okay. We take down sort of barriers and fencing, and we tow them in. So because this is the 26th Festival of Speed, what I was surprised about when I started 5 years ago is, do you know what? Everything is like clockwork, right down to a post being in the right place or a sign to say the right thing, and everything is absolutely spot on. That's what I first noticed.
Yeah.
The fencing that comes down is the same bit of fencing that comes down each year, and it's all very orchestrated and all right down to fine detail. So yeah, so those, the 9th and the 10th fairways, are literally become a helicopter flight, landing, takeoff area, and all the aeroplanes, car parks.
What damage does it's obviously a beautiful day today, so probably not much, but what damage does using the fairways as car parks do? How long does it take for them to recover?
Yeah, no, do you know what, it's really surprising. I mean, I've been here 5 years, and really I've only experienced 1 year, and I think it might have been 2017, where the weather was particularly wet, and it caused quite a lot of damage. And yes, a part of the event budget is money is allocated to be able to do that. So that's okay. Just a little bit of disruption while we overseed and, you know, repair those things. But on the other four summers, and this one, touch wood, looks like it's going to be exactly the same, is that when it's nice and sunny and dry, there's no damage at all. You know, once you've put a slitter or a verti-drainer through a fairway, mm-hmm. in the autumn, you're back to being okay again. So yeah, it doesn't cause a problem at all. Really, it's a disruption more for the golf member than the green staff. But having said that, there are two golf courses, so they don't play on the park; they come and play on the down. So it's really quite straightforward. And from a greenkeeper's point of view, you'll probably speak to the head greenkeepers of each course later, but they just take the opportunity to do all the work that they normally can't do when golfers are getting in the way. So it's absolutely, we've just worked it right where we take full advantage of something that could be seen as a negative and we turned it into a positive.
You are quite unique, I believe, here in that your owner isn't the members, it's not a committee, you know,
yes.
Managed by a committee, you're managed, yeah. By the 10th Duke of Richmond.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
What's the relationship you have with him, and how much interaction does he, I mean, does he play golf for a start?
He doesn't play golf, but his two sons, Will and Charlie, they do play golf.
Yeah.
So they're in their early 20s. They do play golf, they love playing golf,
yeah.
They're away doing other things, university, working in London, wherever, but when they come back they bring their pals and they play, so that's really good for the future for golf at Goodwood. His Grace, although he doesn't like, or he doesn't play golf, he likes the idea that it's the estate is being used for something that is really rather good, and we, you know, we do an awful lot of work around sort of wildflowers and, you know, sustainability and things like that, which all has a really good positive feel to it and a positive message. A lot of greenkeepers, aren't we? We do look after an awful lot of green space, which is fantastic.
Where did that drive come from? Because I mean, we're here and we're at Tesla speed now, where there's a lot of cars burning petrol,
yeah.
over there, but we're sat, yeah. on a golf course that's GEO certified.
Yeah.
Achieved that last year.
Yeah.
Where did the drive come from to do that? And are you doing this to balance up the other side, or is it just something that you wanted to on this side?
So when I started, it was something that I was quite passionate about, I wanted to do.
Mm-hmm.
But really here, they were already doing an awful lot. They have the estate runs an organic farm, so it makes its own milk and cheese and beer and lager. Does all of that. It's fantastic, and it's all organic. So it's already started. I know the Duke before, the current Duke, he was very very keen on all of that sort of stuff. It just made sense to say, right, well, listen, we're going to do that on the golf courses as well. So we really got stuck into that. And the whole thing about sustainability for the estate is a really hot topic at the moment. And I'm really fortunate to be on a One Goodwood sustainability committee, made up of directors and GMs.
Yeah.
And really interestingly enough, we talk about like the Festival Speed and it's burning all those things and all that sort of stuff, and there was an awful lot of waste, there still is an awful lot of waste, we've got an awful lot to do. But what's really great is that we've you can imagine with the logistics of something such a massive event over 4 days, I think, you know, it's up there with Glastonbury and things like that, isn't it, in a different way, but
mm-hmm.
numbers wise,
yeah.
Is that we have gone to, there's an awful lot of recycling of all the waste that's generated through all the canteens and all the bacon outlets and things like that, you know, selling,
yeah.
all that sort of stuff. Also going for things like, you know, so it's trying to reduce plastics. So things like we're trying to stop on plastic water bottles. We're going more for more sustainable products and like the straws and all those things. A long way to go. This year, I think at the festival, for the first time, I think the the waste bins that are generally out there for all the public to throw their stuff in. It used to just be one bin for waste. I think you'll see it out there is there's all the different coloured recycling bins. So we're making a real starting to make a real trying to change all of that so that we'll be sustainable through all of it. We don't want to just hide behind. You know, this carbon neutral thing. Well, if we do this, then it balances all the rubbish that we've done here. And it's like we're trying to do all of it. But we have a forestry team. There's an awful lot of, in that 12,000 acres, an awful lot of forestry as well. And we have a team of about eight tree surgeons, forestry guys. And they've just landed one of the biggest grants, if you like, for planting hundreds of thousands of tree saplings, and they'll be starting that in November. So just the trees and that regeneration and replanting trees of such huge numbers will definitely outcompete what, you know, give us a carbon neutral sort of thing. But we're not just hiding behind that. We want to do that, and we want to get better and smarter at looking after the environment. So
brilliant. Just remind me, Phil, where were you before you arrived at Goodwood?
I was 6 years at Heythrop Park in the Cotswolds.
Is that where you got your MG?
No, I got my MG. So before that, I was in Cyprus for a year doing a growing. Heythrop was a growing and construction.
Yeah.
Before that, I was a year in Cyprus doing a growing.
What was it?
It's now called Minthis Hills, but it was called Sada with a silent T. Sada Golf Club just outside Paphos. That was a great place. But before that, I worked at it was the Watermark Club, Overstone Park in Northampton. And I was there for a long time, 14 years, and that's where I got my MG thing.
Okay, all right, so you've had it some time now.
Yeah, 2001, so I'm old.
Well, fair enough. But you, what's the biggest thing then that you've had to learn? Because all of those are golf courses, right?
Yeah.
What's the biggest thing you've had to learn coming here?
I'd say two things, really. Yeah. The first one is how to deal with more people, so people skills. Having 35 full-time members of staff and another 15, that's a big number because it's a big place. And dealing with people, or how to deal with people, I never really grasped that, and I still haven't got it right. But I'm learning it. I'm on a rapid learning curve. Trying to manage all those different individuals, it's not easy. Actually, you know, really, at the whole thing, grass is easy.
Yeah.
I don't mean that, you know, flippantly, but grass is relatively easy to look after compared to looking after people. That is what I found. So that's one thing. And I think the second thing is that grass just isn't grass. You know, it's managing sports turf to perform to the activity. So like we talked about, cricket has to be different. The turf on cricket has to be different to a golf green, to a fairway, to a grass runway, to a field where cattle and 70,000 cars are on it, to a horse racing track. It's all grass, but it has to perform and completely differently to each environment. And that's the part that I find really challenging, I find really exciting. So yeah, it's really testing.
That's really interesting, because you get job listings, Greenkeeper International, and on our website, but from links venues say you must have links experience, otherwise you can't work here. That changeover from Parkland to links, or links to Parkland, has seemed like too much for anybody to handle. But you would say,
well, no, I completely get that, why people, there's a feel-good factor of that reassurance that somebody has looked after that exact sort of sports turf for that exact sort of application. But, from my own experiences, if you're a good greenkeeper, and there's an awful lot of I'm going to say them, not us, but them good greenkeepers out there that can turn their hand to to that. And it's not only that as well, of course, it's that, and we don't get an opportunity to do this probably as much, I've had a little dabble at it in my checkered past, is cool season to warm season grasses as well, you know. And there's, you know, as long as you have a good sound knowledge and education about sports turf, with experience, you can adapt that experience to pretty much any environment. I've managed to do it, luckily, but I have a good team around me. But it's all doable. It is all doable. Yeah, brilliant. Absolutely.
Cool. I feel like we're at Festival of Speed, so we should talk more about it.
Right.
What's the build-up for you in terms of your preparations for this event? How long? What's your build-up to this event? How much work do you have to put in to get ready for it?
So, I with my different sort of hats on from different departments, the greenkeeping hat is the downs course, not a vast amount. We know when the event's going to be on, and we will program in doing some maintenance work, because we know even though the golf course is open, the numbers are down, the rounds of golf are down, so the greenkeeper takes his opportunity to do what he can. The park golf course, because it shuts, we plan the year ahead to say, right, what do we want to do in that week when the golf course is shut? And you know, you do get into programs of work and routine, which is absolutely fine. But leading up to, for the park golf course that shuts, we have to work with the events team quite closely, probably a month out, working about, right, listen, I know that the fencing, the barriers went here last year, but you know what? We learned that it might have been better off if they were here. There's always tweaks. And people were, you know, the getting from car park A to the event, you have to pass through two fairways. Well, listen, they try and cut the corner, so let's make sure that we have some marshals here and here. So we do that work pretty much immediately after the event the year before, and then we make sure that when we start having our meetings with the event team a month out, that all those things are just remembered and they're all put in place. So from the golf point of view, for the golf course point of view, apart from the disruption on the day, we're just communication's a big thing with the events team, and it really gets going a month out. But with my different hat on, with the grounds and the gardens team, that starts probably a little bit earlier, probably about 3 months out, because the grounds team have to prepare and stripe up and make everything look beautiful all round within the build site. So when you go later, you'll see that the hill climb, which runs right past the front of the house. The front of the house all has to be hand mowed and striped up, and then of course people are walking on it and building things on it, and lorries are on it and things. So we're always working in amongst it, right in the thick of it. So there's all of that going on, and there's always, you know, then His Grace, who is very hands-on, very, very hands-on, and very, he has a very, very acute eye for detail. I think he has, in his younger days, I think he was a very good photographer. So photographers usually do have an eye for that sort of thing, you know, every little thing that's not in place to get the photo right. Well, he has a very, very, and very, very keen eye for detail. He will do lots of walk rounds with the events team and generate lists. And they are very detailed lists about, you know, a leaf of blade is out, a grass is out of here, and there's a weed over at the kennels.
So he's very exacting. How does he communicate that to you?
So he walks around with the events manager, and each of those events that we talked about has a lead event manager, and they have a team. There are, there's about 100 work in the events team, and the manager changes, the lead manager changes for each of the events, and they head that up, and then the others support him when it's not their turn, if you know what I mean. He walks around with the sort of a small group of the top end of those, the managers, and the list is generated, and then it's their job then to hand them out to the likes of me, to the GMs, to say, right, it's your bit, it's the motor circuit bit, it's the gardens bit, it's the grounds bit, it's the golf bit, and then they all get done, ticked off.
Is it and if he makes a request, is that you have to do that?
Yes. There is no other plan B. It is, yes, that's done.
Okay.
Yeah, that gets done. Yeah. The only thing is how quickly. That's the only question you need to ask. How quickly? And it's usually definitely within the next few hours. No. And it's all fine because we're all when you what I've discovered working here is that you. It very much is the people that are hired here are very much of a can-do attitude. There isn't a lot of negativity in the team, of which there are 700 members of full-time staff at Goodwood. And they're all a breed. They are a breed that it's about making stuff happen. And it's about, we have values, you know, we try and live the four values, you know, it's an attention for detail, how to create the wow factor, you know, the customers, you know, comes first, you know, having attention for detail, all of those values are right there, always in our, we're drilled into us, and it all just fits in. So if there is a weed over on some paving area way out somewhere else, then it's like, yeah, no, we want to know about it and we'll go and sort that out. If we've missed it, you know, then it's fine. Teams, when they're under pressure, is when everybody gets a little bit tetchy. But when you, if you've already built all those relationships, if you like, that's when teams, you can then thrive. You can enjoy when the going gets tough, you've already got everything in place to be able to deliver it.
So build the relationships when it's good and it'll pay off when things are a little bit tougher.
Yeah.
Fascinating. Yeah. Yeah, interesting. I imagine there's only so much you can do that's transferable from golf course to the racetrack, you know, the racing events that's going on here.
Yeah.
Other than keeping it tidy off the track. Keeping it safe. When it comes to the racing in a month's time, you're in charge of that, right? The racetrack?
I'm not in charge of the horse racing.
Okay.
Our teams, there's a separate team. Of groundsmen that are up there, there's eight of those, there's lots of teams all over. But we assist them, so it's all that flexibility and trying to get that one Goodwood ethos, if you like, out there. And I think that was one of the reasons why all these teams were all separate 5 years ago, and I was very fortunate. After 2 years, they said, "Phil, we want you head it all up because." We want that one point of contact that they can then do, make sure that one Goodwood thing happens. It's very difficult when you've got five different managers doing that, when you could have one that says, right guys, this is what we're going to do, and then they all go, okay, you're the boss, right, we're going to do it. So that's how it's kind of transpired.
Where does that position you in the overall management of the...
So 700 staff, it goes His Grace... They have a board of six directors, my director, and then I'm a GM. So I'm on GM level, and then below me I've got all my managers. So my two head greenkeepers, I've got two head groundsmen, head gardener, and a head mechanic. So the six of those, and then there's the guy, then there's the deputies, and then the guys under there. So I suppose GMs, there might be 40 GMs spread across the whole site a lot.
Wow.
But that goes for marketing, there's another one for PR, there's another one for motorsport, there's a whole army of GMs. Luckily, so I'm a GM for sports turf, grounds and gardens. So that's where I sit.
You've got the horse racing, which you're a GM for, in addition to the golf course, and you've taken on the farming last year.
Yes.
Which is golfing, farming, horse racing, which is the airplane, airport.
Yes.
It's a ridiculous remit, all that.
Yes.
What's the hardest to do?
The thing that's given me the most headaches lately is the airfield. The golf is, it's great. There's two great teams there that look after it, and it's all set nicely, it's all ticking along beautifully. I meet with all my line managers once a week, and we drive around their area and we, what we're going to do, how we're going to do it, we do all of that sort of stuff, and that's fantastic. Different times of the year, it's different, but the golf courses now don't usually give me much of a headache. It's the airfield at the moment. It's a new airfield. It got rebuilt 18 months, so 2 years ago, and it opened last year, and it's been quite a brutal summer last year and a spring, that's been quite tough to manage 30,000 aircraft movements a year, so establishing the grass while all of that is going on has been quite challenging, and it still is challenging.
Yeah.
And then I think last autumn, when I was asked to take on the farmers' fields, just the grass. So I'm not in charge of the in charge of the cows and the sheep and the pigs and the whatever, but just the grass is that they had been a little bit neglected in the work that you could do to them, and really it only boils down to nutrition, aeration, and the grass sward, the species of what we've got. So that was quite a challenge last year, and it wasn't necessarily, again, like I said before, it wasn't actually the grass that was the challenge. The challenge was being the person that's only got an interest in the grass, but having to try to get the farmer manager and the events managers together without throttling each other, and to say, listen, look, don't worry about it. I will sort it out from a agronomic point of view and a turf point of view, and you'll both be happy.
Yeah.
The people part was the hardest part of the job, not the actual grass.
Okay. What would you say to somebody who is thinking, or who isn't thinking of greenkeeping as a profession?
I'll tell you what, I think what I've realised, I started, my dad was a golf pro, and I always wanted to be a golf pro.
Hmm.
And then when he sort of sat me down and said, listen, you're 18 and you play a four, it's not good enough. You need to think of something else. And I couldn't think of anything else that I wanted something to do with golf. So I kind of chose greenkeeping almost when you look back at it, as a second choice.
Yeah.
And I remember I went to Myerscough College, Preston, right? And then I got my first job at Camberley Heath.
Mm-hmm.
And within the first year, I was a deputy, but within the first year, I thought, I don't know. I'm out in the cold. I'm weeding, I'm edging bunkers and all that. It's a bit dull. And he said, stick it out. And I did. And it's taken me, as a profession, it's taken me, all over the world. So I've worked in Florida. I've been lucky enough to go out. I've worked out in Cyprus. I've worked all over the UK. I have had a nice life. You have to put in the work to do the learning and get the experience, but it's the learning and the education thing that sets you up.
Yeah.
But, it's a job. It's not just a job, but it can take you all over the world. And there aren't many that do that, is there? There aren't many, you go and work in a bank. Nobody in Florida is going to take you on as a bank clerk in Florida or in Cyprus, are they? But as a greenkeeper, as a British greenkeeper, you are quite sought after. It's a great life job. You work outdoors, you're working with nature. It's a great office, isn't it?
The Green Room Golf Course podcast is produced by myself, Carl Hansel, on behalf of the British and International Golf Greenkeepers Association. For questions, comments and concerns, you can get in touch with me by emailing carl@bigger.co.uk. That's Carl with a K. You can also join the conversation on social media using @greenroombigger. And we've also got a Facebook page where all the latest notices, news releases and information from Bigger can be found. We're also on Instagram using @bigger_HQ. Subscribe and leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. The more people know about the sports turf industry, the more understanding they will have about the hard work of Bigger members and other greenkeepers. And speaking of Bigger membership, if you're inspired by what you hear to progress your career in greenkeeping, then a major first step is signing up to the association. The opportunities for career development are countless and potentially life-changing, such as volunteer opportunities at major tournaments and educational opportunities across Europe and the USA. Don't forget, if you're a golfer and you've got any questions about anything you hear on the podcast, have a conversation with the greenkeepers at your club. They've got the expertise to explain what's happening at the course and how it fits into the team's long-term vision to improve playability and enjoyment of the facility.